Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Good morning. So these are amazing times. This has been an amazing week, hasn't it? You know, and not being able to meet together is odd. I don't like it. But over the next coming weeks, we're going to make the most of the use of technology. So we're going to be using videos over the internet. We're going to be using things like Zoom. We're going to be using Facebook and Instagram just to try and connect with one another, to try and see one another over the internet rather than actually physically be able to be with one another in the same place. But honestly, even though this is our first week, I can't wait until once again we're safely able to meet together as a church family, come together during the week and on Sundays to gather. It's amazing how this little organism, this little virus has literally changed everything, hasn't it? It's changed the economy, it's changed schools. You know, the schools have closed this week. You know, kids' events, you know, for all our kids, all their activities and after school clubs, they've all stopped this week. You know, even sports, you know, from just amateur to professional has just been put on hold, and we don't know when it's gonna start again, or if we're ever gonna, you know, finish the Premier League, or whether they're gonna play those rugby matches, or you know, is the Olympics gonna happen? You know, what's gonna happen with these things? And because of these things, because of this changes and kind of fear that's around this virus. If we were meeting together on Sunday, if we were there at Highfield, the message that I'd planned, I'm not doing that. I'll probably do that next week over this same forum. But I thought I wanted to bring something different, something that spoke into what we're going through as a church, what we'll go through as a nation, what the world is going through right now. So wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, maybe because there is no church service, so therefore you've tuned into this. Maybe because there's no sport on the telly, you've decided, right, I'm gonna this is something that I can just watch. Why don't you find it, if you've got a Bible or a phone or an app or whatever, why don't you find Psalm 121? I'm going to look at Psalm 121 in a second. But this virus, like I said, it's literally changed everything, even down to the way that we wash our hands. I mean, I don't know about you, but most of us didn't. We realized these past couple of weeks that we've done washing our hands for the whole of our lives, and really, we didn't know how to wash our hands. You know, the whole kind of full scrub, you know, around all the fingers and stuff like that. Most of us didn't actually have a clue how to wash our hands until we saw these videos, which you think, like, it's just something so simple. But it's changed everything, and the fear in the air is tangible, isn't it? Everything that we once took for granted has changed, hasn't it? You know, finances, health, Lou Roll. Things, you know, all of a sudden that the whole world has been shaken. Our lives have been shaken. The nothing is normal anymore. You know, the old normality is completely changed. We're having to get used to a new normal, and kind of some of the fear and anxiety that's in the air is that we don't know what that new normal is going to look like. And actually, that new normal seems to be changing every day. New announcements being made of what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't do, how we should live and how we shouldn't live. It seems it's constantly changing and evolving as the situation with this little virus progresses. You see, and we all, there's this fear in the air. And maybe you are afraid. Maybe you generally are. You're afraid. You're fearful for your health. Maybe you're fearful for your finances. Maybe you've been watching the media and that's kind of spiraled this fear in you. But one thing we can say, actually, and what this little virus has done, actually, it's shaken this myth, or exposed this illusion that we have in the West, especially, that somehow we are in control of our lives. That we, little mankind, men and women, we are somehow in control of the universe. We get to say what happens and what doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, this coronavirus happens and we realise, oh, that myth is shattered. That illusion is gone. We realise, oh, we don't control anything. We don't know anything. And that's part of why so many of us are so worried, is because we realise that we don't know anything. We don't control anything. We have no say on what's going to happen next in our lives. This virus has changed the way that we think about everything, hasn't it? And what I want to ask you this morning is, where is your security? Where is your security? Where's your comfort? Where do you go when danger looms? You see, this is where God is so good to us through His Word. See, Christian, you can have a real rock solid security. We were talking about it last week. It was brought as, and for those of you who are there during our worship time, one of the things that kept being brought, and then I brought it in the Word as well, that Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our firm foundation. When everything else is being shaken, He is the one firm foundation that we can stand on. And the only thing that brings hope, the only thing that brings comfort, is when we aim our lives at Him, standing on the rock of salvation. But where do you find your comfort? Where do you find your comfort in these times when danger is all around us? And wonderfully, God answers that over and over and over again in the Scriptures. And he does that because He knows that ultimately we are going to go through times like this. We're going to go through times when everything is shaken. And actually, God does that, I think, sometimes on purpose, because He wants to remind us that we can't rely on our health. We can't rely on social structures. We can't rely on finances. Actually, He reminds us in His Word over and over and over again that, Christian, all we can rely on, the only person we can rely on, is the person Christ Jesus. So let's read Psalm 129 and then we'll pray. Psalm 129, a psalm of ascent. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade, is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you, coming and going, both now and forever. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you watch over us. God, and I want to pray for the people who are listening right now. God, I want to pray, God, whether they're feeling worried or not, whatever they're feeling worried about, whether it's their health, whether it's their finances, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I pray that as they listen here to this, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, come and comfort them. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, you'd come and you'd show us that you, Jesus, are the only one that we can stand on. You are our hope. You are the one that we can put all our trust in. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would do that. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. But we would do that this morning. Amen. Amen. So, this is just a little bit of introduction. This psalm, it says it's in a psalm of ascent, which obviously means it was something that was sung by the Israelites during their time, during their ascent up the hill to Jerusalem, to the temple top, See, there were a few times in the year, three times in the year exactly, where they had special festivals in the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish people, wherever they were, across the nation, they would come to Jerusalem, and they would come up and they would go to the temple. And in Jerusalem, it's built on a hill. And so as they were going up the hill, they would sing songs of praise to God. They would sing songs of worship to God. They'd sing songs, as we're going to look at here, songs which remind them, which declare truth about who God is and what he has done for them. See, and that's what I want you to notice first about this song. When you look through the other songs of Ascent, you'll see that they are to God. They address God. But nowhere, the really interesting thing is that nowhere in this song does it address God. Does it say, you God, thank him for who he is. Instead, what it does is that over and over and over again in these eight lines, it proclaims the good news about who God is. Now, I think of songs that we sing, things like Cornerstone. You know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, Cornerstone, Christ alone, Cornerstone. It's just these wonderful songs that we sing, you know, in Christ alone, you know, my hope is found. These songs that we may sing on a Sunday, which don't bring us and say, and come to God and declare to God who he is, but declares to the soul more than anything. It declares to us, the congregation, because us, the people of God, this is who your God is. This is how amazing your God is. This is how great, this is how wonderful your God is. And so it starts in verse 1, it says, I lift my eyes up. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? So the psalm starts with this question, with the psalmist writing a question to himself, he's a question that he's pondering himself. You see, for the psalmist, it's the hills, but for us, it's this tiny, tiny invisible virus. The anxiety for the psalmist, though, is just as real. Now, as he writes, his mind takes him as he writes, he's looking up at the mountains, and the fear is real. The fear of robbers, the fear of bandits, the fear of falling and injuring yourself. Now, these aren't paved roads. These are dirt tracks. You know, the journey that this worshipper is taking to get to Jerusalem, to get to the temple, is fraught with danger. And the fear is real. The anxiety that he feels is real. And he asks himself, where does my help come from? Where is it? Where does my help come from? He needs help. He needs divine intervention. He needs comfort. And then he goes on straight away, answering his question boldly and confidently. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Brilliant. And if you notice that, if you've got your Bible open in front of you, you will notice that the word Lord is used over and over again in this psalm. And it writes the word Lord as L-O-R-D, obviously, but all capitals, which is the way of our translators, the people who've translated the Bible from its original language into English, that when they write the word Lord in capital letters, it's not just saying Lord, it's using God's original name, Yahweh, God's name, and Yahweh, which will take the reader back, which is meant to take the reader back to that Sinai moment, where Moses, you remember Moses, he's on the mount, and that the bush, the tree is on fire, but not being consumed, and God is in the bush, God is in that moment, and God speaks to Moses, God commissions Moses to go and declare freedom to his people who are captive in Israel, sorry, not captive in Israel, who are captive in Egypt, sorry, And Moses eventually says, yes, I'll go. But who shall I say sends me? You know, this is a place where gods. There's hundreds of gods. They've all got names. But who? When they say who? What God has sent you? Who do I say shall send me? And he says, say, I am has sent you. Yahweh has sent you. The merciful, the gracious, the promise-keeping God, the God who does the impossible, the one who makes a way where there wasn't a way, the light in the darkness, the God who sets the captives free from Egypt and is setting prisoners free right now, the name by which we are all saved, Yahweh, whose name casts out all fear, Yahweh. And it's by his name, because of who he is, the psalmist can trust. The psalmist can trust that in God and God alone is his help. His security is found. It is this name that floods through the psalm in verses 2 and verses 5 and verses 7 and verses 8. The word Yahweh floods through. This is your God, your Lord, your Saviour. His help comes from the Lord. He is the one who has made everything, and he rules over everything. He is the sovereign Lord, and that this is where the writer finds his hope during this dangerous journey. As he looks up to the mountains, and his heart is filled with anxiety, his heart is filled with wonder. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. He takes refuge. He finds his hope. God, the Lord, Yahweh, the Sovereign One. So where are you looking for help? Where are you looking? Where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your faith in this pandemic? Is it the government? The NHS? More testing? A vaccine? Social separation. Let's keep our distance, okay? I mean, it's kind of what we're doing now, isn't it? Stocking up. Getting more toilet paper. Washing your hands. I mean, all these things are good. But, well, like I said, this virus gives us an opportunity to reflect. Where is our comfort found? In troubled times. And can we say like the psalmist, my help comes from the Lord? Can we say that? Can we say my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth? You see, the psalmist goes on verse 3 to 7. And each line, he kind of changes here. Because each line he then starts declaring good news after good news after good news for the reader and whoever listens to this. And I just encourage you to listen to this, and we're going to unpack this. And it's just wonderful. He says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, the psalmist, as he's taking this long journey, as he's taking this walk to Jerusalem to worship, you know, injury, pain, they're real fears, they're realities. That the anxiety of what if I slip and stumble on my next step? What if the rock is wet and I slip on it and I injure myself and I can't continue? It's a real fear for the writer. But the Lord is watching over him. He is watching over us. And he holds us. He holds us. He holds us. In that idea of watching doesn't mean that God's just sat there kind of up in a cloud going, all right, okay, yeah. Oh, don't do that. No, don't do that. Oh, he's gone and done it. Oh, well, nothing I can do. I'm just watching. No, that watch. In some translations, it's translated keep you. It's this idea that God is active. That God's not watching passively back out the way. No, God is watching and he is active. He is involved. He is there. He is protecting. He cares for, he looks after, he keeps you. What is this saying? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. See how he repeats it. See, he says that he's holding you. See, this what he will not let you slip. He's there, he's looking after you, he's protecting you. But then the psalmist loves this truth and he wants us to hear this truth so much, he repeats it twice. And he says that he doesn't sleep. That means that he doesn't stop working. He doesn't stop doing good. When in good times, in bad times, in times of war, in times of peace, in times of prosperity, in times of disease, he doesn't stop working. He never sleeps. He doesn't slumber. God is always watching, always looking after. He never, ever stops. Whether we see it or not, whether we can feel it or not, whether we feel like things are going great or not, God is always working. He is never sleeping. He never sleeps. The Lord watches over you. Verse 5 says that the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. You see, the Lord of all creation, time and eternity, the God who cares for the whole universe, the God who cares for the whole universe, the God who watches over everything, who keeps, who looks after, who protects everything, who treasures his church, treasures you. He treasures you. He treasures us. He cares for you. He protects you. He looks after you. He keeps you. He watches over you. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen to us. No, you know, we're promised time and time again that, you know, life is hard and stuff will happen, stuff will go wrong. But that what this is an assurance of, what this is ensuring us of, is that no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens, we belong to God. Christian, you belong to God. No matter what happens, you belong to God. He is yours and you are his treasured possession. And he will always, always, always keep you. It reminds me of Romans 8. Romans 8, 35 to 39. This gives us this wonderful truth. Romans 8 says, who then, listen to this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depths, nor anything else in all creation, that includes coronavirus, will be able to separate us, will be able to separate you and me from what? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord. Now, Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. He is this wonderful God that was revealed in the Old Testament. That, you know, how much, you know, that the psalmist writes with confidence that God, that he can trust in God. How much more can we? We who live after the cross, we who have met Jesus. See, Jesus is the God. Jesus is, he is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is without end, and nothing and no one can separate you and I from his love. He covers all dangers. Nothing enters our lives. Nothing leaves our lives without his say-so. And nothing can separate us from his love. Verse 8 says, the Lord, again, Yahweh, will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. We are watched over by Jesus. We are kept by Jesus. He looks after us. You see, I don't know what you think about Jesus, whether he was just a man who lived 2,000 years ago who died on a cross. You know, maybe you think, well, he died on a cross so that when I die, I could go and be with him. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? He's alive. He rose from the dead. And he is seated now in glory with the Father and heaven. And right now, he is acting. He is involved in our lives, and he personally is watching over each one of us. We are kept by Jesus, looked after by Jesus, protected by Jesus, cared for by Jesus, treasured. The King of the universe, think of all the beauty, all the wonder that's in creation on our planet. You know, that you maybe see outside right now. Maybe, you know, in our country, the seas, the deserts, the rainforests, the all the wonderful, glorious things, into the solar system, the stars, the planets, the wonder that is out in creation. Out of all of that, Jesus says, "You are my most treasured possession." Church, you are his most treasured possession. There is no time nor place where Jesus is not with us. This should be breathtaking. It is breathtaking. This is amazing. That's why I can't help but get excited. And it's all because of Calvary. It's all because of the cross. It's all because Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb, the one who never did anything wrong, said, I, in the garden, in Gethsemane, remember, he's on his knees, he's sweating, God, he's sweating drops of blood because he knows what's coming before him. And he's not worried about Christ, he's not worried about being nailed to a cross. What's terrifying him is having my sin, your sin, all the things that you've done wrong, all the things that we have done wrong, all the things that I've done wrong, put on him, and him taking the responsibility, him taking the punishment that my sin, that your sin deserves, upon his back. That terrified him, but he did it. But he went before Pilate, he went before the Jewish authorities, he did that, and he was silent as they bathed for his blood, as they said, crucify him. He was silent as they whipped him, as they scourged his back, as they ripped his back to pieces. He was silent as they mocked him, as they beat him, as they made him, forced him to carry a cross on his back, which he was too weak to do. He was silent as they nailed him to a cross and lifted him up on vertically, upright. He was silent. And at any moment, at any time, he was God, and he could have commanded that he could just be let down. He could have taken himself off the cross. But he didn't. He stayed there, not because of nails in his hands and feet, not because of the Romans, not because of the Jews. He stayed there because he loves you and I, because he treasures you and I more than anything in the world. It says in Scripture that he did all that for the joy set before him, the joy of the salvation of you and I. He did it. So let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus this morning? And do you know what? You can know him right now. It doesn't matter that you're not in a church building. It doesn't matter that you're sat at home on your sofa or watching this on the loo or whatever you're doing. It really does not matter how you do it. Right now, you can just say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I give my life to you. It doesn't matter whether you've never done that before or whether you're a member of this church, of Christ Church Blackpool, and you just you need to give your life to Jesus right now. You feel convicted. You feel like, actually, you know, I've wandered this week, and I want to bring my life back online. As we were talking last Sunday, you know, I veered off slightly this week. I've not trusted in God. I've not had my life aimed at him. And God, I'm coming to you. I'm saying sorry, and I'll give my life to you again. Do you know Jesus? You can do it right now. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to continue, but I just want to pray just for those of you who may not know Jesus. You can just follow this. Okay, you don't know Jesus through me. Okay, we don't live in the Old Testament times where you come to me and then I go to God for you. No, you go to God on your own. He is there. Jesus is risen and he is accessible to any single person who comes with him with a humble heart. But sometimes the words, we don't know what to say. So my words might be useful to you. So just pray along if you want to right now. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you died. Lord God, I thank you that you took the punishment that I deserved. God, I'm sorry for messing up. I'm sorry for not following you. God, but from this moment on, I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to put my trust wholly in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see, it's so important, this. See, when we get this, when we receive his great love for us, from now till all time, it doesn't end. It sustains us on this treacherous journey through life, no matter what happens, even a pandemic. Let me assure you, the most important question to ask yourself isn't, will I or will I not get coronavirus? No. It's, will I make it? Not, will I make it through the pandemic? I hope that everyone does, by the way. But it's, will I be there with him, with Christ on that last day? Will I meet him when I close my eyes, when I take that last breath? Will I meet Jesus? Will I see him face to face? Where from then on, there will be no more disease. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more tears. There will be no more death. Will I get there? Will I be there? And the answer isn't yes, because I'm really good. No, the answer is yes, because I know Jesus. It's yes, because I know Jesus, and no other thing. It's not because you're good enough. The only way we get there is through the blood of Jesus Christ and coming to him and having a relationship with him. So again, do you know him? So that's my take home. That's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember, do you know Jesus? In the light of this virus, do you know Jesus? In the light of what's going on in this world, do you know Jesus? Secondly, be wise and don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic, Mr. Maring. Don't panic. There's a difference between being wise and not panicking, okay? Now, I'm not going to reiterate the government's guidelines, which are really good, on how to be wise during this time. But follow them. Follow the guidelines that have been laid down by the health authorities. You know, if you're a Christian, whether you just became a Christian just a second ago, or whether you've been a Christian for 30 years, okay, your security is safe. Okay, you know Jesus, and you will know Jesus, and you will be with him for all eternity. You have paradise waiting for you. Okay, eternity beckons you. But let's not get to those gates too soon, okay? I hope that no one gets to those gates early. You know, be wise. Do what the government says. Follow what the health authorities are telling us to do, okay? It would be a real shame if any of us got to heaven too soon because we didn't wash our hands properly. Okay, I'm being, whatever the word is, God is sovereign. God knows when we're going to die. God knows when we're going to be born. But you get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. I don't want anyone out there to die too soon. Okay, you know, I just have this picture in my head of, and this is completely theologically wrong, but I like it and I think it's quite funny. But so just go along with it for a second. Just place the Bible for the side for the second. Okay, but just for my point. Okay, I wouldn't want, you know, any of us to arrive at the pearly gates and Peter to be there waiting for us. And he looks down the list and he's like, oh, Ben, you're not on this list. Actually, Ben, you're not due to die for another 25 years. How are you here? Oh, I see. You're here. Oh, there's a little side note here. Okay, you're here because, oh, you didn't wash your hands right. Oh, well. Okay, you see, I mean, that's just a complete nonsense story, but it hopefully makes some sense to you. Okay, Jesus knows when we're going to die. Jesus knows the hour and the day. But we need to be wise. We need to be wise with our time. You know, for us in our household, we're washing our hands. We're cleaning things. You know, we're taking extra precaution. We're taking good quality vitamin C and D, especially to boost our immune system. So be wise. Be wise with what you're doing. Be wise, but don't panic. And that's really hard to. That's really easy to say, but really hard to follow, isn't it? Because especially when we're spending those times watching the news, and it seems to be more terrifying stat, more change, whatever. It seems to be really hard not to panic. So my challenge to all of us, me included, is: are we spending more time in His Word than we are listening to the news? Are we spending more time with Jesus, more time that brings hope, more time hearing truth declared, more time listening to who He is rather than listening to stats that bring despair? You know, I'm not saying put our heads in the sand. that's not what I'm saying whatsoever. What I'm saying is we need to be constantly reminded, especially in a time like this, of the reality. Of the reality that no matter what happens, war, famine, disease, we have a king. His name is Jesus. And He is on the throne. He is in control. He is good. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And He always, 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 always does what brings Himself glory and what does us good. So I pray you have a great week. I pray that whatever's happening, I pray that you don't get ill. I pray that you stay safe. You're wise. I pray that you don't panic. I pray if you do struggle with panic, we'd love to chat. I'd love to speak with you. But I think nothing that I can say can really replace the reality of knowing Jesus as your firm foundation, knowing this God. So I'm going to pray and then I'll say bye. So Lord Jesus, I thank you, God. I thank you that I can know you. God, I thank you that you are my rock in troubled times. God, you, as we read last week, God, you are that rock that never, ever, ever disappoints. God, and I pray, Jesus, where some of my friends out there are feeling anxious or feeling worried, God, I pray, Jesus, that you would be their comforter right now. God, I pray that as the world is being shaken, that we would turn to you and follow you and put our faith and our trust in you. I pray that we'd be wise. I pray that you'd sustain us, you'd enable us to put our trust in you and not panic. God, be with us now. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.